Father, we thank you today for, oh, how you love us, for how great your love is towards us in Christ Jesus, and that you see our flaws, you see our faults, you see our mistakes, you see all of our shortcomings, yet you chose to love us anyways. So it's not based on our performance, it's based on Jesus' performance on the cross. So we thank you today for loving us the way you do and for continuing to reveal that to us by your grace and your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, if you got your Bibles, let's open them up to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians 13. As I've been saying as we've gone through these verses that describe to us the attributes and characteristics of love, perhaps the only time you've ever heard these expounded upon was at the last wedding you attended. And it certainly applies to how husbands and wives should be loving each other, but how many of you know it also applies to how everybody in this place should be loving one another and how we should be loving the world out there that does not know Christ. Amen? This is how people are going to come to know the Lord. It's not going to be by our spiritual gifts. As great as those things are, and as much as those are kind of like the dinner bell that we can ring to draw people to Christ, the Bible says that they're going to know us by our love for one another. So learning about God's love for us and then through us is a vital part of Christianity. And I've been teaching on this as well on our pastor studies during the week, and I've made this statement. A lot of people, I know we get a lot hyper-focused on, Lord, help me to fix my life now. I want to have good relationships. I want to be blessed financially. I want to be healed physically. And I think sometimes we become a little bit too focused on ourselves in this life. And trust me, God wants us to have those things. God wants to bless you, but that's not the main thing. The main thing is, how is our soul prospering? How are we growing spiritually? Because listen, you can have all the wealth of this world, but I've never seen a hearse carrying a U-Haul. So you're not going to be able to carry it with you, amen. The only thing you're going to be able to carry with you is the spiritual fruit that you bear in your life. So learning about things like how to walk in love and how to receive love is so vital to our life. So never disesteem the things we're looking at and saying, well, I wish Pastor would preach on this other thing, because this is really what I'm going through. This actually might be the thing that gets you to the thing that you desire to see in the other part of your life. I've come to find that things just come a lot of times as a byproduct of seeking first the kingdom of God. So if I'm loving God and loving people and stuff like that, God will make sure I get to the place where He wants me to be, amen? So making this our focus is of the utmost importance. So do not despise teachings such as this. Where the Apostle Paul says, beginning in verse 4, that love suffers long and is kind, that love does not envy, love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, it thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And then he begins in verse 8 by saying, love never fails. Amen. So what we can learn here is, as we've been learning through this series, yeah, how we can love one another, but it also teaches us how God loves us, because God is love. So I can put God in every place that love is being indicated here and learn this is exactly how God is to all of us. Amen. And whether you've realized it or not, God has been much more like this in your life than most people realize. Amen. He has endured a lot with you. He has bore a lot with you. He has suffered long with you. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's talking to you right now. Amen. Everybody in here, I don't care who you are, how squeaky clean you think you are as a Christian, we've all suffered through a lot of different things. Amen. So what we've been learning through this is we've been spending time camping on each one of these virtues. Last week we looked at verse 6 where it talks about that love actually rejoices in certain things, right? There's certain things it doesn't rejoice in, and there's other things it does rejoice in. And the Bible teaches us this, that we're supposed to be doing what? Rejoicing with those who rejoice. right? And I made the point last week that that's not two different Greek words there. It's the same word for rejoice with others as the way they are rejoicing. So what does that mean? If I am loving people, I am going to get just as happy, just as glad, just as cheerful as they are when good things happen to them. Amen. I'd want people to do that for me, right? Don't you want people to get happy for you when good things happen? How many of you have had some friends in your life that actually do a somewhat of a good job of rejoicing when good things happen with you? Amen? Well, the fact is, all of us got room to grow, because I don't know if any of us have any friends that get just as excited as we are when those good things happen. Well, that's what love will do, because why do we get excited when they happen to us? Because we love ourselves. Right? So if I'm loving other people to the degree that I love myself, I'm going to get just as excited for them. We got room to grow. And turn to your neighbor again and say, he's talking to you again. Amen. Amen. See, you know, there's a strategy in me doing this. If I have you turn to your neighbor and say that, then subconsciously they think you're the one saying this to them. So anyways, it kind of gets me out of the way of the darts and arrows, praise God. Just kidding. But anyways, we learn about the rejoicing. So if you missed any of these, I encourage you to go back, and you can either listen to them on our website or watch them on our Facebook page, because these are really important things. I want us to get to verse 7, though, this week. Because verse 7, when you look at it, it's almost kind of like the Apostle Paul, after giving maybe a little bit extra attention to some of these things that love is and is not, it's almost kind of like he's starting to summarize what these characteristics of love are. He kind of gets real quick with them and kind of drops a few more before he ends, right? And these last four things, I'm going to spend time talking about two of them this week, probably two of them next week, and we're going to look at really what he's saying. He says that love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. What is the common denominator in this verse? All things. That's what's being repeated, like rejoice was being repeated in the previous verse, right? Now, this, if you just look at your translation of the Bible, this can lead people into believing stuff that God wasn't necessarily intending. What this can seem to indicate is that if I'm walking in love, then I'm going to bear everything. I'm going to believe everything. I'm going to endure everything, and I'm going to hope everything. I can give you a couple of examples right now of how that's not necessarily true, and I'll tell you why. How many of you know the Bible, especially the New Testament, spends a lot of time dealing with what's called false doctrine? So in other words, a good portion of your New Testament is telling you things not to believe, right? Well, I thought he just said right here, if I'm walking in love, I'm going to believe all things. Well, evidently not. No, love is the subject matter here. In fact, the last one, endures all things. How many of you know that God doesn't necessarily call all of us to endure everything that we go through in life? You know, the Bible says over in James chapter 4, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, what does that mean? There are certain things, yeah, you should be submitting to, some things you should be enduring, but there's other things you should be resisting, right? So we got to come to understand, what's the difference? What is it that God actually calls me to endure? And what is it that I'm supposed to be shunning and resisting? It's kind of like I've dealt with some ladies before that were married to abusive husbands. Husbands that actually physically beat them. And I've dealt with that before. And I know certain people that will take verses like this and preachers that have said, well, you need to stay with that person, because the Bible tells you if you're walking in love, you're going to endure everything. How many of you know God would not ask somebody to do something like that? However, when it comes to loving somebody, when it comes to dealing with other people to a certain degree, if you're really loving that person, in a lot of cases, you are going to bear all things. You are going to believe all things about them. You are going to hope, and you are going to endure all things when it comes to that person. So we'll get into some detail about what this looks like. This week, I want to deal with the first one, bears all things, and the last one, endures all things, because you're going to see how they kind of work together. All right, let's deal with the first word, bears all things. You know, one of the important things to do when you study your Bible is you can't just take what your favorite translation gives you as being the be-all, end-all of what the Bible was actually saying. All of us need to study to show ourselves approved, to know how to research and find out really what the original language that the Bible was written in, and the New Testament was written in Greek, and the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. Now, I'm one of those people that I only know a little Hebrew and a little Greek. One owns a laundromat and the other a restaurant. But there is enough tools out there that we can have to find out what words mean. I've got a free app that I use on my phone that I looked this up and found it out. Because the word bears, to us, means something different than what they wrote it in. The word that was used for bears here, when you look it up, the primary definition is it means to cover, to hide, to conceal, as to protect and keep. I'll say that again. It means to cover, to hide, or to conceal, as to protect and to keep. Now, many of you know, that's a little bit different than bearing all things. Because when I looked at this, I was always kind of wondering when I would study these words, well, bears all things kind of sounds like endures all things. Almost seems like he's being a little redundant. I mean, there's a little bit of a similarity in those things. But what I came to find out when I looked this up is that the bears all things literally means it covers all things. Now, how many of you are thinking of a scripture when I say that? Is there a scripture in the Bible that talks about love covering things? Absolutely. It says it over in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8. We'll put it on the screen for you. Now, this is a quote from the Old Testament, from Proverbs. So this is the second time this phrase is listed in your Bible, where the Apostle Peter says, "And above all things," this means at the highest priority in our life, we're supposed to what? Have fervent love for one another. That's some passionate love right there. So what does that really equate to? It's kind of the best description we have of this is kind of like when you fall in love with somebody of the opposite sex for the first time. Like maybe when you were younger or something like that, or the person that maybe you love today. Well, there's a fervency there, right? There's a passion there. You think about them all the time. You want to talk to them all the time. I remember that was the way it was, particularly at a young age. You'd be on the phone with them forever. Now the kids are just texting back and forth forever. And there's all of this that they're constantly on your mind and you're thinking about them. That's called fervent love. And that's the love we're supposed to be having for one another. We're not supposed to be off each other's radar. We're constantly thinking, we're constantly loving them in our heart and mind. So when he says, above all things, have fervent love for one another, notice what he says then. For love will, say it with me, cover a multitude of sins. So what is one of the descriptions we see of love? Is that it covers a multitude of sins. And I like that word multitude because what this shows us is we're not just talking about a few. This is a whole bunch. A multitude, what do you think of when you think of a multitude? Thousands, hundreds or thousands. We're talking about a multitude, a group, a large group. So what this is saying is that with love, you will cover a whole bunch of sins. Amen? Now, it makes me think of Matthew chapter 18 where Jesus was talking about how you're to restore a fallen brother. A brother that maybe had sinned against you, and that you're supposed to go to them one-on-one, and if they don't hear you, then you take two or three with you, right? And if they don't hear them, you take it to the church and so forth. You'd think most Christians thought the opposite was true, that when they have offense in their heart towards somebody, they go to the church. They start telling everybody else. And then they might go to a couple other people and take it to them, but then the last thing they'd ever want to do is go and confront the person. That is not what the Bible teaches us to do. The Bible teaches us if you've got an issue with somebody, you go to them first. Don't include anybody else in it. Why? Because you can poison people, their opinion of folks. So that's not what love would do. Love would have enough respect to go to a person and minister and talk to them and tell them what the issue is. Because isn't that what you want people to do with you? If somebody's got an issue with you, would you like it if they called Pastor Trey tomorrow morning to tell me? What would you prefer? That they actually came to you and asked you about it, right? Well, because that's what love would do, amen? But in this exhortation to restore people, Peter comes to Jesus afterwards and said, "Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother? Up to, listen to this, guys, watch this, 7 times? And I guarantee you, Peter was ready for Jesus to pat him on the back and say, "Oh, Peter, I'd never ask you to do this 7 times. That's very gracious of you. You must be spiritual and more spiritual than all the rest of these disciples." No, but that's not what Jesus said, is it? What did he say? No, Peter, not up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. That sounds to me like a multitude of sins, right? So love will cover a multitude of sins. Now, when I say all this, and we're talking about this covering, this hiding, this concealing of sins, it needs to be qualified. Because this does not mean that it's always appropriate not to declare what the truth is. Some people have covered the sin in an attempt to, which will actually hurt other people, right? That's not what he's talking about right here. But there is a time and a place for us to conceal the sins of others. Amen. And I'll kind of share with you some of those ways in which you know when it is. How many of you are familiar with the scripture that says over in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, that we're to speak the truth in love? Amen. You'd think that some Christians thought that just said, speak the truth anytime and always. Not necessarily. Sometimes it's not appropriate to declare what you know to be true. Right? And how do you know? And here's the real way you can ask a question where you can know, when is it appropriate for me to speak the truth right now? Ask the question, who am I loving by saying this, and how am I loving them? You know, because really what a lot of times people are doing is they're just declaring other people's faults to try to make themselves look better. They're bringing them down so that they can get exalted in other people's eyes. Or they got a fence in their heart towards the person they're talking about, so they like to go around and tell everybody what that person's done because they're really just bitter about that person. And you know what? People that you're declaring bad things about to are a little bit smarter than you might give them credit for, and they can kind of realize sometimes when those things are happening. But just ask the question, how am I loving the person that I'm telling other people something about? How am I loving them? Amen. And would I want somebody to do this with me? Amen. Let me give you a good biblical example of this to where we can see how it kind of works. Go over to Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9. This is the story of Noah after they got off the ark. And the Bible teaches us that when Noah got off the ark, that he planted a vineyard. And guess what he had in this vineyard? He had some grapes. And back then, when you had grapes, it was to make some wine. And so he made a little bit of wine or had these grapes. I guess they'd fermented, whatever, however that process works. And Noah had a little bit too much to drink. And the Bible says he uncovered himself in his tent. Let's go back and start from the beginning, Mary, because let's read it. I want you to see it with your own eyes. And Noah began to be a farmer, and he planted a vineyard. Then he drank of the wine and was drunk and became uncovered in his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside. Now, what did Ham not do right here? He did not cover his father's sin. He went and told the other brothers, right? Now, look what happens next. But Shem and Japheth took a garment, laid it on both their shoulders, and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. Their faces were turned away, and they did not see their father's nakedness. Now, when you read your Bible, don't just read it literally like you're reading a historical story. There are a lot of types and shadows and metaphors that are being listed here to convey truth about how we are to live. So what happened here was Noah had the three sons, Shem, Japheth, and Ham. And actually, this scripture tells you that only one of them, Ham, had a son, and his name was Canaan, which we know he ended up not becoming a very good son at all. But there's a reason why it tells us what was happening here. And one of these sons was dishonorable. That was Ham. Because why? He saw his father's being uncovered, he saw his nakedness, he saw his sin, and he made a point to go and tell the other brothers. Do you know, it's really easy for people to do this. I'll give you an example. Say one of you in here somehow, some way, figured out that I was doing something wrong and nobody else knew it. Do you know what would be the tendency, especially if you didn't have much love of me in your heart? It'd be, I got information nobody else has. And what do people like to do when they have information nobody else has? Tell everybody. Why? Because it makes them look good that they actually know something. Y'all are laughing, but you know it's easy to do, isn't it? That's exactly what Ham did here. Ham sees it, and he's the only one that knows. In the tent, daddy's drunk and naked. Man, I got some good information. Let me go tell the other brothers what happened. But the other two, notice what happened. The Bible says they threw this garment over their shoulders, and they backed in. They turned their faces away, and they did not see their father's nakedness. Covered him up, and walked right back out. Now, evidently, because the Bible is lauding this behavior, it's honorable behavior, isn't it? Which is, what is the metaphor here? What can we learn from this? When another brother or sister sins, turn your face away from it. Don't focus on it. Don't make it the thing that you're looking at constantly. But do what? The loving thing of covering the multitude of their sins. So this is what happened. But notice what happened afterwards. And remember, there was only one son that was named to any of these three men, because this is important. So Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done to him, Ham. Then he said, "Cursed be Ham. A servant shall he be to his brethren." That's not what it says, is it? He curses his son. He cursed Ham's son. Why? Let's notice what else he goes on to say. Verse 26. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem, and may Canaan be his servant. May God enlarge Japheth, and may he dwell in the tents of Shem, and may Canaan be his servant." Why would Noah speak these curses over Ham's son when it was Ham that sinned? And I believe this is the example, and this is the point we need to learn from this. When we do not walk in love and don't cover the multitude of other people's sins, and we go around exposing it with the wrong heart. Now, there's grace for it. It's not like every time you do this, there's going to be punishment or something like that. But I am saying there is a repercussions for our actions. And you know what it is here? When we fail to operate in love like this, our fruit can become cursed. How many of you know your children are the fruit of your body? So your fruit can be cursed. In other words, you might not be as productive for God as you used to be. It's kind of like with, the Bible said, with David. David was dancing before the Lord with all his might. And he was praising the Lord, and he uncovered himself, didn't he, before the people. He took off his kingly garments and danced before the people. And his wife, Michal, the daughter of Saul, ridiculed him and said, "How honorable was the king today before his people?" And you know what the Bible tells us after that? From that day forward, Michal never bore any more children. Again, showing us the fruit in our life can be set on a negative trajectory by not abiding by this thing of love. Hey man, aren't you glad you came to church this morning? Praise God. I mean, this is good information to have, because it's easy to bury our head in the sand and pretend like it's not happening and hope it doesn't ever happen. But to me, I'd rather have the information so that I can guard myself against doing these things. Amen. But the fact is, God was honoring those who covered the sin. Why? Because God covers the multitude of our sins. Because when I behave like that, I'm behaving like God. How many of you are thankful that God doesn't go around airing all your faults, failures, and mistakes before everybody in here? And Simon says, with a booming voice like an angel from heaven declares, "Everybody, I want you to know every bad thing Shannon's ever done, from the most recent to the past." I'm sure Shannon's very excited that that is not the case. I'm very excited that God's not going around exposing all those different things, right? Well, why? Because that's what love does. You know, I don't know too many of you that have kids and grandkids in here that spend a whole lot of time uncovering and displaying all the failures and all the shortcomings of your children. We don't do that, do we? No, in fact, we laud the good things that are happening, the job that they got and how successful they're being and all of that. Because why? We love them. Well, that's the way God is with you. He covers the mistakes. He lauds the successes. You know how you can know this is true? Read the Scriptures and find that even though God factually brings out the shortcomings and failures of His people, it's not celebrated. It's not even emphasized. In fact, just through a casual reading of the Bible, you'd think David was the best person that ever lived on this planet. That Abraham was just the most noble and honorable person ever. That Peter is just the great rock and apostle. Man, I wish I could be like them and never have any flaws. Oh, I can guarantee you, they have a nature such as you do. In fact, there are certain things that are listed in the Bible that factually bring out things. Like, how about Abraham? He goes around and lies that his wife is his sister to save his own neck and left him there for the other man to lay with her. I can guarantee you Abraham would not have been on the cover of Charisma magazine that following month if he'd have done that today. David had a man put to death after committing adultery with his wife. Yet the main thing everybody knows David for is he was a man after God's own heart, brother. Peter, the only time he wasn't putting his left foot in his mouth was when he was putting the right foot in there, is the guy that was the leader of the entire church. In fact, you read Hebrews chapter 11 and all these guys, by faith, by faith, by faith, you'd think they didn't have any problems. They made mistakes just like you and I did. But the one that spoke the Scriptures, that inspired them through the Holy Spirit, did not emphasize their faults and failures. Gave some of those pieces of information to us to give us some knowledge of different things, but He certainly didn't celebrate their faults. Because love covers a multitude of sins. Amen. I'm thankful for this. Praise God. So love covers all. Now let's go to the next one. Love endures all things. Now, how many of you have ever had to endure somebody in your life? And what that means is put up with or tolerate. Now, most of us, you know, just because we might have a job that we have to have, tolerate and put up with the person in the cubicle next to us because you have to. That's not what I'm talking about. If you're doing it in love, you're going to do it because you actually love the person that you're enduring. Like, I'll give you an example. Some of us don't do this, but some of us certainly, around Thanksgiving time, which we're coming up on, endure family members. That we get around our cousins and our aunts and our uncles and others like that, and we actually have some love in our heart towards them, and we put up and tolerate with them because we love them. But when it comes to a stranger off the street, if they were to do the same thing, we might not so much put up and tolerate what they do. Have you ever noticed that? Is that we'll do it with family members. I'm sure Shannon puts up and tolerates with a whole lot more in me and Levi than she would in some of y'all. I could probably say and do certain things, and she and her love for me would not blow up as quick as if you push the same buttons, right? And that's just because we can all stand to grow in loving people more. Kind of like we'd love those immediate family members. Amen? So when we're talking about love enduring all things, what this is really describing is that you're doing it because You value the person. You see the potential. You can actually put up, listen to this, you can put up with their current shortcomings and faults and failures because you see the potential that's in them. How many of you know Jesus did that with Peter? Oh, my word. I mean, Peter, all these mistakes you see in the Gospels, he knew that there was something in the boy. He knew there was something that the guy could grow in and become. And so he saw inside of him potential in his God-created value. Therefore, he endured a lot to get to that point. How many of you mothers out there have endured a lot with your kids because you saw the potential and because you loved them? Amen? That's what we're talking about here. So love endures all things. And the reason why this enduring thing is really important is because, in case you haven't noticed it yet, we're all different. Not everybody's like you. In fact, some of the people that you have the hardest time enduring are the people that are like you. Right? Like, I'll give you an example. I'm coming to realize that we used to say this about Levi, is that he acts like his dad and looks like his mama. I'm not so sure that's a commendation that's being given to him, right? But, you know, your kids are going to end up having certain things. Well, Levi's got a little bit of them leadership personality traits that I have. Which, when you're that person, if you are the person that's wired that way, you can be a person that can, if not tempered by the virtues of the Holy Spirit, can be a little controlling. You can be a person that says, no, this is the way to go. This is the plan. So when we're going on vacation, Levi writes out the entire plan for the vacation. And I'm like, whoa, 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 hold up a minute. I'm the guy with the plan. So sometimes you have to endure the people that are just like you. You following what I'm saying? But sometimes it might be because the person's not like you. The key is what? Coming to know and understand the other person. The Lord has taught me a tremendous amount about this, particularly in my years of pastoring. Because in a lot of ways in which the things I have to do here, there's been a lot of people that have come through here and sat in the pews that you're sitting in since I've been here. I've been here almost 10 years now. And there has been a lot of people that I've had to endure. And there's been a lot of people that probably had to endure me too. I get that. But what I found is that sometimes in the face of the worst adversity, to where it seems like everything in your flesh says, it's quitting time. It's time to move on. We're done with this. We tried to do it for too long. We put up with it for too long. How many? Can you relate at all to what I'm talking about? And there's this point where you're like, that's it, I've had it, I can't do it no more. That time is not always, generally in my experience, it's very rarely ever the Lord. Because why? When people say, well, I'm falling out of love, I mean, when I'm falling out of love with somebody, that means they just fell out of love, what love really is. God's love, His patience, His endurance exceeds and transcends ours. And He will put up with things a whole lot longer than we would. He don't fire people as quick as we would have. He don't get divorces as quick as some of us would have. He doesn't quit. He doesn't end. He does not. There does come a point. There are lines. But my point is this, is that it is a whole lot further than that. And so what I found is, with a lot of situations when I've had some of the, I mean, it's just difficult. It seems like the person's never going to be any different. They're a big problem, all this kind of stuff. You know what? Through enduring through it longer than most people would have said you would have needed to, most people would have all checked it off and given you the okay to just quit and terminate this relationship. And in not doing so, some of those people are some of my favorite people now. Because if you just give time in love, God can make the most beautiful lemonade out of the worst lemons you've ever been dealt. So I'm just here to say, this is not a time for us to look back in our life and look at all the things to where maybe we did fall short in this. I guarantee you, every single person in here has probably not gone the length of love that they should have before they terminated a relationship, before they left a church, before they quit a job, all the different things. Our past is not what's on trial here, but our future is the focus. And what it is we need to go to the Lord and honestly and objectively ask Him, what do you want me to do in love here? And when I say honestly and objectively, it's really easy to think you're hearing the Lord tell you, oh, it's time to move on and quit. I've heard from the Lord, brother. I mean, we're good at it, aren't we? Man, God stands up, pastor prophesies to me today, Susie, and tells me I'm going to be a millionaire by the end of the month. And we go and tell everybody and post it all over social media and say, I've heard from the Lord today. But if the Lord come and told you to do something that's really hard about forgiving, uprooting bitterness, apologizing, or doing something else, people are like, get behind me, Satan, in Jesus' name. My experience is God's always going to leave you on the love track. And you're usually not going to miss it going on that route. Amen? So ask the Lord the question, what do you want me to do in this relationship, in this situation? Am I supposed to be enduring? Is this something? I'd had a job one time when we first moved here, the first job I had in Macon. I had two supervisors, an immediate supervisor and the one that was over a branch at a local bank I worked at. And I was there, I don't know how many months it was, but I'm going to tell you, the immediate supervisor was, lack of better terminology, I guess she was bipolar. The other person was absolutely a control freak. It was a really difficult situation. And one day, I'm the best employee they ever had. The next day, and I'm like, good gracious alive. I hadn't done anything different than this and that. Well, the Lord told me when I was there, this is what He said to me. He said He was perfected through the things He suffered. Talking about Jesus in Hebrews. And what does that mean? That means that there is an opportunity in the hornet's nest to develop some thick skin and to be able to grow and develop to where you can become stronger. That's exactly what Jesus did. Amen. So sometimes you got to figure out, it might be a difficult situation. It might be hard being around these people or in this situation. But this is why I always tell people when they want to join this church. I'll be like, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, this ain't a perfect church. And you got to know God has called you to this church. Has the Lord planted you here? Why? Because when the first hint of issue comes up, you'll be easy to get up and leave if you're not firmly planted and saying God told you to be there. Right? And guess what? Those things are going to happen. Because why? All of us are different. And it'd be really easy to just let, well, I don't like the way that person looked at me. That person didn't love me the way that I thought they, and blah, 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 blah. And most of the time, I was telling somebody this on the phone this week, is most of the time, when you're all focused on what the other person is not doing right, you ain't in love. Love will focus on what can I do, even though they might not be acting right. How can I respond? How can I love this person? Amen. And that's what maturity will do. Amen? It's not going to be about all what everybody else is doing wrong. Because then you're going to be violating the whole covering thing too. But how many of you are thankful God endures all things? This is one of the main reasons why you're able to endure all things with people. Why? Because God has endured a whole bunch with you and me. Ain't that right, Susie? Amen. All of us. I'm not just picking on anybody. Everybody. Emily with you too. God sees all the ways that you treat me all the time on Sunday mornings. He's endured that. Amen. Bobby, God endures the fact you're a New York Yankees fan. I mean, He might not even like that. There's a lot He puts up with. All you Georgia Tech fans, He puts up with that too. There's a lot that God endures in this place. Amen. And He puts up with a lot of the times where I have missed it, fallen short, say the wrong things, like what I just said a minute ago, and other things like that, God endures a whole lot in your pastor. And you know what? Me living in the constant awareness of how much He covers, how much He endures, helps me to tolerate and put up with other people. Amen. It helps me to get it that, man, you know what? I don't need to be uppity. Like, I don't make the same mistake this other person does. Have I ever done the same thing that this person's currently doing to me? Probably so. And so, I just look at it like, you know what, God? You've been merciful to me. There's a multitude of my sins You've covered up. I am responsible to do this same thing. And so we started off today's service with that very popular praise phrase. For the Lord is good, and His mercy endures forever. Ah, do you see that? See, the main two things the Bible is constantly repeating to tell you of who your God is that we serve a good God, and we serve a God whose love endures all things. So that means with all of us, praise the Lord, I can stand up and spin around because of the grace and the goodness that I have found, and the Lord has been good and merciful to me. Amen. Amen.